Guys are quiet this morning. I want to just shout and jump. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're ready to record back there. Can you believe it is already October 29th? So it's the end of the month. So you've got you got Thanksgiving coming up. You got Christmas. And then you got the new year in about 60 days, right? So, so if you didn't like this year, hold your breath. New year's coming. Amen. 18's coming. 18 is coming. Hallelujah. So the title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Privilege of Prayer. The Privilege of Prayer. And I want to share some things because last week we spoke about the power of prayer. And we said that prayer changes our character. Prayer changes our faith. And prayer changes our vision. And that there is power when we pray. God is interested in us praying, amen, because he's listening. He's always listening. He's like, remember Hulk Hogan used to stand on the top of those ring ropes and he'd go like this and see everybody? He's listening just like that, amen. He's listening to you. So you got to be out there praying because there's power in your prayer. And this week I want to build upon the knowledge in the area of prayer because God really wants us to have the manifestations of what's in the Word of God, amen. And when we pray, God wants us to see those manifestations come to life. God really wants you to have a blessed life. I mean, I know there other people might say that you got to suffer through life. I understand we're going to go through a little bit of suffering, but I'm not going alone because I already went with somebody named Jesus, amen, who's already went before me. And I'm going to know that I'm going to get through it, amen. He's already paved the way when there seems to be no way, amen. There's a privilege of prayer, and too many believers forget the tremendous, glorious privilege that belongs to us as the children of God, that we have something that the world can't do and can't understand, is that we have the privilege to pray. So this morning I've got 6 points, 6 points, 6 points, 6 points, 6 points. I'm going to get them done quick this morning because I know I can hear your stomach rumbling from up here, amen? So, six things. Privilege one, first privilege, is prayer allows access to God. Prayer allows access to God. Take a look at Psalms 55:17. Psalms 55:17. Prayer allows access to God. Psalms 55:17. This is the New Living Translation, says this. It says, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. We get to do this. We get to pray. We have access to God morning, noon, nighttime. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 366 days a year, if leap year is that year, amen. God is interested, amen. God is listening. You have access to God 24 hours, 7 days a week. Morning, noon, and night. If you cry out in distress, if you got an issue, if you've got a problem, if you got something that's going on, you can call upon the Lord. And I love this. And the Lord, what? Hears my voice. He hears your voice this morning. And he ransoms me, and he keeps me safe in the battle that's waged against me. There's things that come against you. There's things that people are talking about you. There's bad doctor's reports. There's lack of finances. There's all kinds of stuff that come across. But God's got us covered. Amen? Even though people are still opposing you. See, when we pray, we're addressing the Creator. We are dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're dealing with God Almighty. So when you go and you pray, you're accessing heaven. Amen? Prayer brings us into his presence. It's important that we understand that when we begin to pray, we enter into his presence. It puts us into the throne room with God. God invites us to come before him and praise him and worship him and lift up our prayers to him. And then he says that I'm going to deliver you from certain situations and circumstances in your life, but all you have to do is glorify me. So the first point is what? The first point is prayer allows access to God. Number two, privilege number two. Prayer is available to all believers. Oh, said that for a reason. Privilege two, prayer is available to all believers. Prayer is not an activity just for the spiritual giants. Amen. Prayer is open to all Christians without exception. Amen. There's a many of people, I've found that I've known people that are atheists. When they get in trouble, they start calling on the name of God, and I go, Oh, Jesus, help me. Well, why are you calling on him? You don't even believe in him. But God is available to all the believers. There's many people in the Bible where prayer fell from the lips of ordinary people. Remember that dying thief that was next to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom? See, he cried out that prayer. He uses ordinary people like us. That's the cool thing. We don't have to have a PhD and this kind of degree and theology and all. God uses the ordinary people to go ahead and pray. God uses ordinary people to go out and change the kingdom of God on this earth. And here's the thing. Never feel that you don't have a right to pray. You always have a right to pray. Don't allow the devil to get into your head and start saying, well, you know, God's not going to listen to your prayer. God calls all of us to pray. God calls all of us to pray for our families, for our community, for our church, for our nation. God calls us to be lifting up prayer all the time. We should be people of prayer. Prayer is a privilege that deserves to be exercised. Here's the thing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go exercise. If you want to lose weight, you have to discipline yourself on what's going in the gullet. Right? You got to be disciplined. God wants you to be disciplined in your prayer life. God wants you to be praying all the time. We have a lot to pray for. I don't know if you even open up the newspaper this week. I mean, I opened it up today, and there was just nothing but bad news in the newspaper. Amen. So I took it when I was done and threw it in the garbage can. Amen. That's after I watched the cartoons. Amen. That's the only good part of the whole newspaper. Amen. But you got to understand is that there's a privilege when we pray. Their prayer is a privilege that deserves our exercise. Privilege number three. Prayer anticipates God's answer. Prayer anticipates God's answer. Really, Pastor? Take a look at Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah was not a bullfrog, by the way. I just want you to know. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Jeremiah 33:3. New Living Translation says this. Remember, prayer anticipates God's answers. It says, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you don't even know about things to come. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Let me say that again. Ask me. God is saying, ask me. Come before me and pray. And I will tell you these remarkable secrets. God will share some things with you that he won't share with others when you pray. When you get serious about God and you get into an area of prayer, when you lock yourself into a part of a room or in your car or wherever you're at and you begin to pray, God will start revealing things to you that aren't seen. I don't know about you, but I like to know some stuff in advance, amen? I'd sure like to know what stocks I should get involved in before I get involved in them, amen? And people go, really? I said, there's some things I ask God on before I invest with something. I ask God about it first. Lord, is this a good investment or a bad investment? If I get a check in my spirit that says, don't do that, I ain't doing that, amen? Because that dollar stock just goes down to a penny stock, and that ain't good, amen? Ask me, and I will tell you. See, God's in the business of listening, and we have to be able to go and communicate with God. We got to be, and how we do that is through prayer. Take a look at Isaiah 65:24. Isaiah 65:24. Here's what the Bible says. Isaiah 65:24. I will answer them. I like this. I will answer them before they even call to me. Let me stop there for that. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that because think about it. He will answer them before you even call on me, he says. While they are still talking about their need. Oh, God, I got all these needs. Help me, Lord. I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Before you even have them come out of your mouth, God already knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows all the stuff that's going to happen in between. He says, I will answer them before they even call me. Just in case you don't want to pray that day. Mm-hmm. He's going to answer that prayer anyways. Amen? Because that's the kind of God he is. And while you are still talking about it, still talking about your need, oh, Lord, I need this, I need, he already knows what you need. He'll go ahead and answer those prayers ahead of time. That's the kind of God he is. He's a God that's always on time. See, prayer is a privilege because he promised that he would hear us and then he would answer us. That's the kind of God we serve. One that hears us when we pray and then he answers us. This should give us confidence when we pray that he's going to listen to us and then he's going to answer our prayer. That's the kind of God that we serve. God desires to answer our prayer more than we want him to answer them. Let me say it again. God desires to answer our prayers more than we want them answered. Listen, sometimes we throw up those prayers. We say, well, I hope he doesn't answer that one. You know, Lord, you know, I want you to change me, but not really. I said that in front of the prayer group so everyone would hear me say, Lord, change me. And then in your mindset, you're saying, well, Lord, I really don't want to change. Because you know when God gets involved, he's going to start changing some stuff in you. Lord, start taking away the desire of this or the desire of that. And you just say that, and all of a sudden God starts doing it. And you're like, what? Well, I was hoping you weren't going to answer that prayer. Privilege number four. Prayer achieves the impossible. Prayer achieves the impossible. Take a look at Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. Remember, prayer achieves the impossible. Matthew 17, verse 20, New Living Translation says, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. Faith moves some stuff. Prayer moves God. Prayer moves God. Your faith will move your mountains. See, prayer has the ability to unleash the supernatural in a natural world. How many of us this morning are living a life that seems like it's impossible sometimes? And then you start to see God work in it, amen? And then you begin to see the supernatural things happening in life through prayer, amen? You say, well, Pastor, I haven't seen any miraculous things in your life. You are a miracle, believe it or not. There should have been, could have been, things happened to you that didn't, but someone was praying for you in advance and God already heard the call and already took care of it in advance so that car wouldn't hit you. Yep. Amen? He'll bring you to the right doctors when you're jacked up and that they'll have the right surgical skill set to fix you and mend you up and God will do the rest of the healing. Oh, quiet in this Christian church this morning. See, God will do the impossible things. He wants to do the supernatural. He wants to put the super on your natural. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. How do we do that? By prayer. By prayer. Never say God cannot do it. Because, see, prayer is a privilege. And because it gives us this ability to do the impossible. We can achieve the impossible when we give it to God. Amen? Well, God can't do that for me. You know, I'll never amount to that because, you know, people told me I couldn't. And God's not interested in doing that for me. He is very interested in doing things for you. He's very interested in answering your prayer. He's very interested in doing the impossible in your life so you can say, whoa, the only one that could have did that was God. Amen? God bless you. Only God. Only God. Amen? Privilege number five. Privilege number five. Prayer advances the kingdom of God. Prayer advances the kingdom of God. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, New Living Translation. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and will be honored wherever it goes, just as when it comes to you, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer." Our prayers can be effective in places where we cannot go physically. Amen. We can lift up prayers. We could go and say some prayers, and that will advance the kingdom in these third world countries where we don't go. Amen. In these little villages, in these little towns in Africa, and all these other, Kenya, and all these crazy places where there's people that God needs to touch. Amen. We can lift up prayer, and we can start watching the kingdom of God start to advance in those areas. Amen. This is why we need prayer warriors. And that's why they're so essential. True power doesn't just rely in the preacher or a church building. The real power source are those that know how to pray in a prayer closet or a war room. Hallelujah. If you haven't seen War Room, go get it. Amen. Go watch it. It's pretty good. It'll make your wife cry. Notice how I said it didn't make me cry. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? See how I did that? It's rolled out pretty good. Prayer opens doors. It hinders evil. It touches the sick. It convicts the sinner. Prayer works. Our need is for more people to be praying so that we can advance the kingdom of God on this earth, so that once the word is all taught, we can check out. Amen? So there's a lot of work. You ain't checking out early. Amen? There's no early checkout. We got a lot of work to get done. Literally everywhere and everything we do and everything we say should be bathed in the sea of prayer. Everything we should be doing should be what we should be praying about, making sure that God is checking it, right? That God's involved in it, that we got the support of God Almighty in what we're doing. Amen? Privilege number six. Privilege number six. Prayer advertises God's greatness. Prayer advertises God's greatness. Let me say it again. Prayer advertises God's greatness. Mm-hmm. God's greatness. Prayer advertises God's greatness as few other things can do. Let me just tell you how. Prayer declares his grace. He allows sinners access. I don't know about you, but thank God someone was praying for me because I was a sinner. Oh, Jesus. And through prayer, I had gotten access to God. Amen. Someone had prayed in advance for me because they knew I was jacked up, messed up, torn up, from the floor up. And people were in the midst praying for me, even when I said mean things about them. I talked bad about them. I thought they were that kooky Christian and all that stuff, talking in tongues and all, woo-hoo, what's that, ooh, craziness? Lack of knowledge will hurt you. Mm-hmm. But prayer declares his grace and allows sinners access. Prayer declares his goodness. That means he's willing to hear you and then he's willing to answer you. Prayer declares his greatness. Prayer says he is worthy to be bowed down before and praised. Let me tell you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of all our praise. Prayer declares his glory. It's through the avenue of prayer that God reveals himself, his purpose, and his ways to man. Prayer unleashes the almighty power of God on this earth. You know what prayer says? Prayer says, I can't, but I know one that can. I know the one that can. I can't do this on my own, but when I begin to pray to God, I know the one that when I lift up my voice to him and call out his name, he will answer. Because he's not deaf. He listens. He's hearing. He's waiting for us to call upon his name. I can't do it sometimes. I can't do it in my own strength. But I know the one that's going to praise and I could worship. And I know that he's going to fill me up to overflowing and take care of all my issues and all my problems in life. Prayer is a privilege because it gives us the opportunity to exalt our Heavenly Father and say, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you're doing for me. Thank you for protecting my family. Thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord God, that we have a place of refuge, that we can come and praise you and worship you and get loud about the things of Jesus. Amen. We can shout and hallelujah and run around the building. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me close with a couple thoughts. Voting. So we all have this privilege as an American citizen to go vote. Amen. Let me re-say that again. As an American citizen, you have the right to go vote. And we vote several times a year on different elections and different people, and then you have the vote for to be president, and then you got vote for all these other things that are happening in our city for mayors and governors and all that stuff. And we exercise that privilege because we want to impact our government. We want to vote for that person, male or female, that represents our views or has experience in something that could go into the government sector and change some stuff. We go there and we vote. And we hope that our person, and we pray that our person gets elected, and that person is going to go do the job that they said they were going to do because we used our privilege as an American to go vote. Prayer is a privilege for God's children. Voting, prayer. Prayer is for God's children. It's for those that know him, those that are believers, those that are seeking after him, those that love him, those that are after his heart. When we exercise this great privilege, we impact heaven and earth. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in between your ears this morning. Prayer is a privilege for God's children. That's who we are. We're God's children. Amen. And when we exercise the privilege of prayer, we impact heaven and earth. It is great that I can vote for a man or a woman on earth to go and get something done, but it is better that I pray, amen, because I can move things on heaven and on earth. We have a privilege. We have a privilege to vote. We have a privilege to pray. I don't know about you. It's great that we're accessing and doing our voting and doing what we're supposed to do and do our homework. But if I can get to God and I can start to pray and I can start to move his hand, he can start giving me clarity of what I should be voting for, who I should be voting for, what I should be standing on, what I shouldn't be standing on, and maybe give you a voice so that you can go out and be that voice into a dark space. See, we can reach beyond today and touch tomorrow when we pray. We have a privilege to pray. We have to take that privilege and go out and pray. It's okay to pray. October 1st, 28 days ago, we had a terrible thing happen in Las Vegas. It brought many people to their knees to pray. And they have all kinds of things as Vegas Strong, and they have all these memorials and all those things, and they are great, and it's great to see people pray and actually go in that presence of that area. You can see and feel a different spirit on that area of the strip where all that chaos took place. There is, when you drive over there is a humbling. There is a different spirit instead of that spirit of sin and lewdness and craziness. It seems like we got to think about this. It brings a whole calm to the storm. Prayer. Prayer is a privilege. It reaches beyond today to touch tomorrow. Prayer. Prayer allows us, right, this morning to access God. It gives us access to God. When we are praying, we are accessing heaven. We are bringing the things from the heavenly realm down to the earthly realm. That's our privilege to speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's available to all believers. Prayer is available to all believers. All those that are non-believers can go out and give lip service, but it's for the believers. I'm a believer. You're a believer. It gives us access to God. We're privileged people because we serve a great and mighty God. Prayer anticipates God's answer. God wants his prayer. When you pray, it's yes and amen. God wants to answer every one of your prayers. Yes and amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Prayer achieves the impossible. I know for me, if it wasn't through prayer, I would have been dead a long time ago. I know I had a praying mom and a praying dad. Amen. That got me through some situations in life. Then I got married and I got a praying wife that prayed for me that I wouldn't be sick and die. Amen. Because I was on a deathbed a couple times, and it was through prayer that rose me above the situation to get me where I am today. Oh, Pastor. Prayer. It'll do the impossible. I'm believing that prayer really does achieve the impossible. I've seen it in my life, the impossible. Amen. And raising kids and neither one of them died. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That was an impossibility. Amen. When they started. I love them. Yes. Amen. Mom was praying for you. And now you see things that look impossible become possible. It advances the kingdom of God. When you're praying, praying advances the kingdom of God, and it advertises God's greatness. It's something to say about miracles, signs, and wonders. How did that happen? Through prayer. Miracles, signs, and wonders. What does that do? It makes you more excited to serve Jesus. When God answers your prayer, aren't you want to run around and tell 15 people? Amen? Don't you just want to go shout the name of Jesus everywhere you go when God does some stuff for you? I don't know, when I pray and he answers a prayer, sometimes it takes a little longer for him to answer some prayers, right? I mean, I get it, because his time to him is different than our time. And sometimes I say, hey, come on, God. You got to speed this thing up a little bit, you know. But God said, I've got this thing handled, son. Just listen to me. I've got this thing organized, and I have to orchestrate a few things in your life so that you can get ready to receive the answered prayer. First of all, you got to be ready. You should always be praying like this. Why? I'm waiting to receive something from heaven. Amen. If I got my hands like this, it's hard for me to catch it, right? I'm trying to block something. But I can receive it. Oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Right? Receiving prayer. Because God wants to show off his greatness, and he wants to show it off through ordinary people like us, where people say, there's no way that ordinary person could do that. How did they do that? Who made you pastor, God? I didn't sign up for it. Wasn't on my top 100 list. You can ask my wife right now. Was being a pastor and running a church on our top 50, 100? I mean, we say we got to go, oh, we should start a church. We weren't even serving Jesus. We knew of him. We use his middle name a lot of times. Well, I did. She was perfect. Prayer works. That's right. See? Prayer. How did we hook up? Someone prayed, and man, we got together. It was awesome. And then once we start getting to know each other, and then we got saved, and then we got water baptized, and then we got filled with the Spirit. Man, our life has just never been the same in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, it's been an awesome journey. I mean, we're going to be married 25 years next year. It's crazy how much time goes by quick. And you look at the impossible things and circumstances, but God made it possible through prayer. We asked God a lot of things, and he answered a lot of prayer along the way. Amen? My wife got probably a lot more prayers answered about me. Amen. I changed a lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm just telling you how prayer works. Our son went and did 2 tours in the Army and an additional like 8 tours in the special ops thing. And he came home without a scratch. I talk about prayer. Mama right there been praying. Was there some close calls? Yeah, did other friends in his platoon die right next to him, and it should have been him, but it wasn't him? God just spared the time where I was supposed to go there, and I went back into the barrack to go get something, and that car blew up, and I would have been in that car. Praying Mama. Hedge of protection. She'd been in a war room. She'd been in a prayer closet. She'd been really focused on it. We've been praying about a lot of good things. Amen. Because see, prayer is a privilege. And we should exercise the privilege every time we have the opportunity. Anytime we have the opportunity to share what God is doing in your life, you should share it with somebody. You should tell somebody, you're not going to believe what God's been doing in my life. I used to do this, and now I'm doing it. You know, some people were praying for me, and God changed the whole outlook on a situation or circumstance. And you know, the doctor's report said that I was going to die, but through people praying for me, God sent the word that by his stripes I were healed, and I accepted that word, and all I am now is healed. I used to be broke, busted, and disgusted. But I got into that word, and I started finding that I didn't have to be that broken, busted, disgusted person anymore. I took that word, and all of a sudden, I began to change. And you don't know how many prayers go up for you, but there's prayers that go up for you every day of the week. We're still praying for those folks. And that little card that we have for all those people that got injured, that died, those 58 people that died, and the 500 people that got injured. Amen. It's already been a month, and people just kind of, maybe some people have forgotten about it. Just, they go back to their same, you know. No, that should increase. That should get our attention. We need to be praying more. Because life can change in a half a second. Amen. As fast as you blink, it could change. Be here, and boom, next thing you're in heaven. Amen. Because you're saved. But how about all those that aren't saved? All those that have given you a hard time? Maybe we ought to be praying for them so that they can get into the kingdom of God. All those people that have been talking smack about you, you should be praying for them. All those that treat you not nice, you should pray for them. I know it's hard. I know you don't want to. But you should pray for your enemy. Amen? Because then God's going to prepare a table for the enemy as you're sitting there. Hallelujah. God's in charge of this thing. You're not. But we have this privilege. We have a duty. We have a right to go and cast our prayer vote. Amen? And I pray for peace, and I pray for understanding, and I pray for wisdom and increase and financial blessing over the body of Christ. That's what we should be praying for. We should be praying for one another. We should look at each other and get to know each other in here and just say, I just need to start praying for you more. I don't even know you, but I'm going to pray for you more. Amen? I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to pray for you because I know that prayer changes things. And that when we begin to pray, there's power in the prayer and things begin to shift. Maybe you ought to make a log of all the stuff that you've been praying for and log it and then watch how God answers those things. It's not going to be the way you want him to answer it, but he's going to answer them in a way you're going to say, oh, he got that one right. How did he know about that? Ooh, Jesus, he knew that. Because there is a privilege, the privilege of prayer, and you and I have to just take some time every day and pray. Remember, he's available, right? Morning, noon, and night. He's available 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's why we live in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week type town, amen? You go anywhere else and everything rolls up and you go, wow, this is kind of boring. That's why God called you to Las Vegas, amen? Because you're a person that might wake up at 3 o'clock and say, I just need to go down the strip and go pray for some people. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I got to go out of the church and go out the four walls. Yes! Get you out of your comfort zone. This is just the building we meet at. The people we need to go reach are outside these doors and these walls. Amen. First, you can start praying for them. that you don't even know them, but start praying for them, and then start going out there and getting it done. Amen. This is good that we get together every Sunday, and we it's like a football huddle, and we get all our game call plays, and this is what we're going to do. But we got to go out and take it to the world. We got to go throw some touchdown passes. We got to go share that word, not go beat up on people with the Bible. Just go and be Jesus to them. Amen. Just share the love of Christ. Hey, how you doing, man? How's everything going? Hey, can you believe this crazy stuff that happened October 1st? How did that affect your life? Get that question in front of them. Hey, how did that, that October 1st thing that happened in Las Vegas, how did that affect your life? And then wait. And you say, hey, have you been praying about that? You heard, has anyone you know got hurt or injured? And we should pray for those people. Do you know, God's involved in this. God's going to fix this. And that's the conversation you can have with them. And then once you get God in the mix, they've got their ears, then tell them about Jesus. Because their God may be something Buddha or some other crazy thing, Muhammad Ali or whoever that is. I mean, they got craziness. But you got to tell them about Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Amen. And then you just tell them about Jesus. Man, thank God that Jesus was involved. Thank God that Jesus was there. We could pray the blood of Christ over some of these people and stop their bleeding. Thank God that there wasn't 500 dead. Thanks for those first responders, and thanks for those that went out and did some stuff. But what could I do? I can still pray. Man, we were praying, man. We prayed all that night. We didn't sleep at all. People are still hurt and still messed up from that shooting. We need to be the people that can bring the peace. See, they're trying to do it on their own, and people are kind of coaching them and encouraging them. But we got the secret that God told us. Remember how God would give you the secret stuff? It's called prayer. Tell them about Jesus. They've been trying to get psychological help by physicians, and that's all good. But what they really need is the peace of God. And you know what we can bring? The peace of God. You know what we can bring? We can uplift that situation by prayer. We can move that whole foundation. If you know people that are struggling with that, you should make a conscious effort to go to those people and say, I just wanted to put you on my prayer list. I want you to know I'm praying for you, that I'm here to encourage you, and that the peace of God is going to fix this circumstance and situation. That fear and that trembling and those crazy nightmares that you're having is going to stop right now, because the God that I serve is going to stop it right now. Amen. You're not going to be haunted by that or in fear of that, because the God that I serve, when I begin to pray, God's going to listen, and then he's going to answer. And he's going to answer any way he wants to answer, but he always answers in love. So we can do this prayer thing, right? Yep. We're good. We understand we have power in our prayer. Yep. We can get this done. All right. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to make all these people that are in this room this morning prayer warriors. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, that they focus on praying this week, Lord God, every day, every moment, Lord God, of this week, Lord God, that you just bring the remembrance, this message to them, Lord God. That, Lord God, this is just a privilege to be able to go and pray. Father God, use each person here this morning, so that they can go and pray for other people that are in need, those that are hurting, those that are going through some stuff, Lord God. I ask you to use each person here this morning to be a vessel that you pour through. That, Lord God, let them be the need meter through prayer. Lord, I know that one voice, Lord God, sounds good, but the voice of many is even better. And that when we're in agreement with your word, and when we're praying, Lord, you will allow us to see this world be shaken and moved for your glory and for your greatness. So, Lord, use us this morning and use us this week and give us circumstances and situations that you place us in so that we can be a blessing to our community and those that we get in touch with, Lord God. Use us, Lord God. Allow us to be the front lines for you. Allow us to be the people that understand that we have power when we pray. And when we pray, we know, Lord God, that you've heard it, and we know that you're moving on our behalf. I ask you, Lord God, for a hedge of protection around each person here this morning, Lord God. traveling mercies to wherever they're going, from point A to point B. Let this week be their best week, Lord God. Let this be a blessed week, Lord God. Let there be financial blessings that come their way, Father God. Bless each person in this place this morning. Guide their conversations and direct their paths, Lord God, so that they're focused on the things of you this morning. I ask you to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord, I bless the food. We're going to prepare this room for fellowship. Lord, we just pray over the food. Anoint it. Bless it. Lord God, strengthen it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and set this room up. So if you want to get out in the sanctuary and fellowship a little bit, that'll be good, and we'll get some stuff organized in here. Amen.